Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a short lesson on God's purpose for you in the book of Numbers. As you can see from the whiteboard, the book of Numbers is divided into five parts. We enter the book of Numbers at Mount Sinai. The people have been camped there for 1 year, and at Mount Sinai, God orders Moses to have a census of all those men 20 years old and upward, all of those who could fight in a war. In other words, God is now going to organize the people of Israel into the church militant. The people have been organized already into a covenant community and a worshiping community, and now they are going to be organized into a militant community, a community that can go to war. And so a census is taken, and once the census is taken, the people are organized into an order of march. And after they've been organized into an order of march, God gives the duties of the Levites and dedicates the Levites to these new duties. The Levites now are going to disassemble the tabernacle, transport the tabernacle, and reassemble the tabernacle when the people encamp. And finally, God orders that the Passover be celebrated. The people have now been at Sinai, as I've said, for a year, and so they celebrate their first Passover in the wilderness. Of course, we remember they are a redeemed people, and the connection to us is that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. In part two of the book of Numbers, the people travel from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea. The Sinai Peninsula is a triangle, and on the west side of the Sinai Peninsula, we find the Red Sea, and on the east side of Sinai Peninsula, we find the Gulf of Aqaba. Toward the southern end of the peninsula is Sinai, and then to the northwest, we find Kadesh Barnea. And as the people travel from Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, they grumble, and of course, this will be their practice, to grumble before Moses. This time they wonder where they're going to get meat. And so God brings quail. And the book of Numbers tells us that for a day's journey around the camp of Israel, the quail are piled a cubit and a half deep. Imagine the amount of quail and the amount of meat that God brings the children of Israel. It's during this period also that both Aaron and Miriam stand against Moses. And Miriam is smitten with leprosy. And so both Moses and Aaron pray to God that Miriam would be healed. And after 7 days outside of the camp, in accordance with the ceremonial law, she is healed and she is restored to full health. And so the people travel to Kadesh Barnea. In part three of the book of Numbers, the people are camped at Kadesh Barnea. You see, they're camped at Sinai. They travel to Kadesh, and now they're camped at Kadesh Barnea. The first thing that God does when they're camped at Kadesh Barnea is have Moses send out the spies into the promised land. But the spies come back, and they give a bad report to the people of Israel. They say that there are giants in the land, and so the children of Israel grumble against Moses, and they desire new leadership. It's at this time also, as they're camped at Kadesh, that the family of Korah rebels against Moses and Miriam and Aaron. And Numbers tells us that 250 leaders of Israel stand with the family of Korah. But God judges the family of Korah, and the earth opens up, and swallows all of the family of Korah, men, women, and children. What a tremendous lesson this is for the children of Israel. In chapter 20 of the book of Numbers, toward the end of the 40-year period, Miriam dies and is buried. And the children of Israel then again complain about a lack of water. And so God tells Moses to bring water once again from the rock. He tells Moses to speak to the rock. In the former case, in Exodus chapter 17, Moses brought water from the rock by striking the rock with his rod. This time Moses is told to speak to the rock. But after 40 years dealing with a rebellious people, Moses is not a little aggravated, and so he strikes the rock twice, and God tells Moses that he will not be able to enter the promised land because he did not hold God to be holy before the people. And so the people are camped at Kadesh, and in part 4 of the book of Numbers, they travel from Kadesh to Moab by way of Edom. And it's in Edom, or at the edge of Edom, that Aaron dies and is buried. And during this period of time also, the people of God again grumble and rebel against Moses, and God sends fiery serpents against the children of Israel. And God also says to Moses, okay, fashion a bronze serpent and put it on a staff and raise the bronze serpent on a staff before the people so that when the people look at the bronze serpent, they will be healed. You recall that the Lord Jesus remembers this incident in the wilderness and says that he must be raised up like the serpent in the wilderness so that when men and women and young people and children look upon him, they will be saved. And so the children of Israel in part 5 of the book of Numbers come to Moab. They are now across the Jordan from Jericho in the land of Moab. And Balak, the king of Moab, seeing the hordes of Israel, is quite concerned. And so he calls Balaam the prophet to come and prophesy against the children of Israel. And 4 times Balaam the prophet does not prophesy against Israel, but prophesies in favor of Israel, much to the dismay of Balak, king of Moab. In the 4th prophecy, Balaam indicates that a star will arise in Jacob. It's quite probable that the 3 wise men who travel to Jerusalem at the birth of Jesus hail from the same place as Balaam the prophet. And so they know of the prophecy of Balaam, and when the star arises, indicating that there is a new king in Israel, they travel to Jerusalem to find this new king. As the people are in Moab, they also commit idolatry and adultery by attaching themselves to Baal of Peor. This is not only, as I say, an idolatrous act, but an adulterous act. And God says to Moses that all of those who attach themselves to Baal of Peor in idolatry and in adultery must be killed. And there are 23,000 who perish at this time in Israel. Numbers 33 gives us a brief summary of the travels of Israel from Sinai to Moab. And then finally, in the book of Numbers, we find a census taken at the end of the 40-year period. Here again, those who are 20 years old, males, 20 years old and older, are numbered, those who can go to war. And the number of the people of Israel is approximately the same as it was during the first census taken when the people are in the wilderness. But now, Numbers indicates that all of those who were numbered in the first census have now perished. And there is a second generation which is alive on the plains of Moab, prepared to enter the promised land. Here is the church in the wilderness, the church militant, the church which was redeemed, the church which celebrated its Passover for the first time at Mount Sinai in the wilderness. Now, having traveled for 40 years in the wilderness, they are at the verge of Jordan, prepared to enter the promised land. What does all of this mean? The Apostle Paul gives us an indication of the meaning of these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, these things happen to them as an example to us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. We now live in the ends of the ages. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. We now are the church in the wilderness. We are the church militant, awaiting our entrance into the promised land of heaven. And this church in the wilderness, under Moses, is an example for us. And we are to learn from the church in the wilderness how we are to live in the wilderness of this life in expectation of entering our promised land of heaven. This is God's purpose for you and me in the book of Numbers, to learn from the experience of the Old Testament church in the wilderness so that we may properly live in the wilderness of this life and trust God to take us into the promised land of heaven. Thanks for listening.